Okay, let's find a good stopping off point here. 2 Samuel, let's pick up around 17?
Yeah.
Good. All right, let's pick up at 17. All right, so we got the two priests of the two priest sons or whatever. They're trying to get a word to David. Verse 18, a lad sees them. The enemy tries to stop them or whatever. Let's pick up at verse 18. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But they went, both of them, away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court, whither they went down. Did I cover any of this last week? That's where I stopped. Okay. So, let me just take a look at this again, looking at some of the notes or whatever, and the application for today. What did the men have to do before they could get up again to get the word over to David? They had to hide out. All right. Where'd they hide out? In a well. They had to go where? Down into the well. Whoa. I'm seeing some things back there I want to get. There's some refreshments or whatever. Donut with my name on it back there. All right. So they go. Oh, new person. Okay. Good. Okay. We not welcome a new person? Well, make sure we welcome a new person, all right? Okay, good. All right, we're glad to have you. So, I saw a young inmate today, because I do the prison ministry or whatever, and he was waiting for me as I was coming in. And there's one Sunday a month that I let the inmates preach and teach, and I sit back. And today is that Sunday. But I was still ready to go and give a little bit of a word or introduction or whatever. So I walk in there and I'm waiting to see, the inmates are going to run it. And I like to be there because I don't want anything to blow up. And this guy is waiting on me. And he knows me. And he's waiting on me. He says, Brother Chuck, have you got a minute? I'm like, yeah, I got a minute. Let me make sure that they're going to get started in there and I'll talk to you for a little bit. And he was doing very well and he was loving the Lord and he was donating hundreds of thousands of dollars to different ministries. He was doing quite well and, it all blew up and all the ministries that he was donating to were not there for him in his time of need. And he was standing there talking to me and saying, what did I do wrong? I was praying in the spirit. What did I do wrong? I feel like God has abandoned. And I never made it back into the chapel to watch the inmates or to hear what they were saying because I'm out here talking to this young man and he feels like God has abandoned him when he felt like he was doing what God wanted to do. And I had to take like an hour to walk this guy through the steps and feasts and things like that, because he was trying to operate at level 7, but he really wasn't walking through the other steps. And I had to encourage him and let him know that, do you see where God is still with you and not against you? Even though it looks like everything is just blowing up or whatever, because we're having this conversation, young man, do you see how you made some mistakes, even though you thought you were doing something good for God, that now you're in a better place with God in this place, in prison? As crazy as that sounds, what I need to tell you is God is with you. Let me tell you why God is with you. Because I'm not supposed to be out here talking to you right now. I'm supposed to be teaching in the chapel. And this is the only Sunday of the month that I'm not in there, where I don't have to teach. And I'm out here with you. You think you just picked that because you were lucky? And sometimes, maybe it's a good thing. And by the time I'm through talking to him, he's thinking and understanding, it was necessary for me to be down. Because when you're in prison, they call it being down. It was necessary for me, for you to be down. Because if you weren't down, you would not be able to get back up. The whole objective of them being down in the well was for them to be covered and hidden from the enemy so that when they come up, they could do what God had ordained them to do in the first place. Is there any application for today? Just because you're down doesn't mean you can't get back up. In fact, what do you think the plan of God was for those two young priests when they went down in the well? And do what? And get back up. Is God's plan any different for us? So if you're down in the well, He'll cover you while you're down for the purpose of getting you ready to get back up. That young man is down, but God is going to get ready for him to get back up with power and a new mind. All right, let's keep going. And I think that's just review. Verse 19. The woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon. And the thing was not known, which means she covered him up. And when Absalom's servants came to where the woman's house was. Yeah. So the whole purpose of the enemy is to keep the word from getting to David. The whole purpose of the enemy is to keep you from getting a word that's going to encourage you to do what God wants you to do. All right, verse 19, thing was not known. Verse 20, and when Absalom's servants came to the house, they said, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? I should have had Al read those names. And the woman said unto them, they be gone over the brook of water, and when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. Okay, now, tell me again, why is Absalom's men trying to keep the word from getting to David? Because if David gets this word, If David gets this word, it's going to encourage him. It's going to let him know strategically how he's going to move, and it's going to mess up the plans of the enemy. Is there any application for us today? No, that's absolutely. So the enemy's purpose is to keep you from getting a word from God, because if you get a word from God, that might encourage you to keep hanging in there. That might encourage you to trust in the living God, and it defeats the plans of the enemy. So I'm glad that everybody's here today. So many of you too. Why are we here today? All right. And who wants to keep you from getting the word? The enemy. All right. So fight them right now. About two or three of y'all right here going, wrap this up. You know. All right. Now, if it was not for the woman, that word is not going to get through. I think we talked a little bit about this yesterday. So, the problems that the enemy causes becomes a ministry opportunity for the woman. Did you catch that? So, while the young man is talking to me at the prison today, all right, I'm just smiling. Because I know I got to teach this lesson. And just smiling. And he's probably looking at me like I'm crazy. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'm not to be flippant, but it's a good thing. I know you're going through something and it's unpleasant, but God is using this opportunity for a reason. You just got to know that he's with you. And I'm sitting here and I'm smiling. He thinks I'm smiling at him, but I'm really smiling to myself. Because you know what my role was all of a sudden? This morning, as I thought I was going to be preaching and teaching or whatever, at least watching the inmates preach and teach, instead, I'm standing outside one-on-one talking to this young man, and you know what I saw that I was doing? I was the woman. Because his problem became a ministry opportunity for me. When that young man gets out and God really starts using him, I played a role. Have you ever played a role in somebody else's recovery? Have you ever played a role in somebody else being able to be covered and rise up out of their situation? If not, it's a wonderful feeling. Ron.
We gotta be careful we don't ever play a role in anything that God doesn't set up first.
Which is how he got in the situation that he's in, because he was not truly led by the Spirit. You know, back in the day when we used to do evangelism here at this church or whatever, one of the things that we would be praying for every Wednesday night would be for divine appointments. Looking for those divine appointments, those divine interactions where we would be able to play the role of the woman here in this case to allow somebody to be covered and let them know that God is with them. Support ministries are awesome. And I mentioned it yesterday. I'm like, man, one of the things that makes me encouraged about coming here is seeing you guys and some of you taking notes and just so hungry for the word and somebody bringing some donuts. God bless the donut and juice ministry. Amen. Because it's encouraging me. It's helping the word get through. Amen. All right. I'm glad because about two or three people are probably in here going, God, I'm so hungry. I can't wait for all this to end so I can get to lunch. Now this will allow you to focus on the word unless you get a sugar fit. All right. So the woman plays an important part. I guess the application here is don't downplay the hidden ministries that support the word going forward. Al, give me an example of a hidden ministry that doesn't get much exposure, but it helps the word get through. Okay, Gideon's is good. When you come into the church, what do you get to see? Hidden ministry that helps the word get through. I guess, you know, one of the most important positions in the church to me is probably the ushers or the greeters. Because if you come to the door and you got a greeter looking at you like this, then by the time they get ready for the word, they're still thinking about why the crazy person was at the door in the first place. And it blocks the word from getting through. But if you got a smile and a handshake or whatever, oh my goodness, it kind of breaks down the walls or whatever, because the walls might come up because some people might be coming to church and they might not be feeling comfortable about church because they might be feeling bad about who they are, what they've done or whatever. And they're like, oh, I don't feel worthy coming in here. But man, if you got a smiling face and a handshake or whatever, it starts to drop those walls down and starts to break up that fallow ground. So maybe a word might be able to get through. Oh, you don't know those sidebar ministries. Those hidden ministries are things that will allow the word to get through. Oh, yeah.
You don't hear that word too
often. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Those hidden ministries. All right. So, enough about the woman. Don't even know her name, but man, without her, that word does not get through to David. All right. Okay. Now, let me see. Oh, verse 21. Wait a minute. Verse 20. Now, it seems here that, and some commentators will tell you, they're not too thrilled about the woman for a particular reason. Why do you think that is? She lied! She lied! She lied! She lied! And we know the scripture says liars burn in hell! She lied and Rahab lied and the commentary said you got to be careful that you don't use this as an excuse for lying. Now, I've got a slightly different perspective on this, and it certainly is not to condone lying. But if I was a Jewish person in Germany in the 1940s and I was hiding out in Schindler's Hotel, I would be very pleased if he would lie and not tell them where I am.
Corey Ten Boom and family.
Lie for me, please. All right. But that still does not mean that the lie is a good thing to do. But now, who is she lying to?
The enemy.
me? Who is the father of lies? So I don't owe him anything. But here's one thing that I noticed. She never said she didn't know where they were. Because that would have been a lie. That's what what the old folk in the Piney Woods would call a bald-faced lie. That's it. She just said that they're not where, come on now, they're not where you think they are.
They was here.
Okay, tell me what your funny Bible says.
The woman replied, they were here, also in the book.
Okay. All right, so Al's funny Bible says that they were here, but they've crossed over. Okay, all right, all right. The King James says...
They had gone.
They have... wait a minute. Version of the King James, you guys have... All right. The woman said unto them, they be gone over the brook. I'll go with that. All right. So the woman says, they were here, but they're gone. All right. Now, physically, she lied. Because they were there, and they were still there. In the physical, they were still there. But she did tell the truth about this, though. Even though they were physically still there, spiritually, they had already...
They were hanging over the water.
Oh, my God. You just split some hairs on me. Good grief.
I'm just saying.
All right. So they were on top of the water.
They were over
the water.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll let you have that one. In the spiritual, I don't think she lied. And the spirit always trumps the natural. Why are you saying in the spiritual? Because when they went down in the well, their intention was not to stay in the well. Their intention was to get up and cross over. So while they were down in the well, in their mind, they had already crossed over. Where are you trying to go with this, preacher? Well, All right, David. Well, let me put it to you like this. Anybody ever been in a tough situation and you prayed about it? And the situation was still there. But on the inside, you weren't there anymore. Wait a minute. Anybody ever been in a situation where you're going through something and it's a troubling situation and you've been worried and you've been able to sleep at night or whatever and you've been worried about that thing, but then you take that thing to the Lord and you realize that your hope is in the Lord, and all of a sudden, even though you might still be in that situation, still facing something, you can still roll up with a smile on your face? And it seems like, you know, you're going through something, but people can't tell it because you got a smile on your face. And some people might know you're going through something, and they expect you, wait a minute, because you're going through something, they expect you to be down. They expect you to be down and out. They expect you to have tears on your cheek or whatever because of what you're going through. But then you show up and you got a smile on your face, and they ask you, how you doing? Because they're expecting you to say, not good and still going through and just be praying for me. And you ask them how they're doing, and you go, I'm standing on the promises. God is good. I'm above ground. I'm above the earth, not beneath the earth or whatever. And it throws them off because they expect you to be one place. Woo! But you're really someplace else.
Like Nina.
Amen.
Man.
I know you guys have heard the story. Some of you heard the story. Some of you haven't because you're kind of new. But man, when I was doing that prison ministry and I lost my job, and I started saying, "Hey man, put me on the prayer list." because I need a job. And every Sunday I would come in, they'd be like, Brother Chuck, how you doing? You got that job? And my facial expression and my expression was, no, brothers, I don't have a job, man. I say, y'all just keep praying for me. Just keep praying for me. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do, but you know, just keep praying for me. Now my role was to go out there and encourage them. And they're asking me how things are going. And I'm like, man, it ain't going real well right now. No, God ain't answered prayer yet. He's still looking for a job, you know. Nah. And I'm depressing them. Thank you, Al, for that confirmation. And after a while, I just really totally surrendered and gave it to God. And I had a peace. That kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. And when I roll back in there again, because I realize I'm standing on the promises of God. He'll make me the head, not the tail. And I'm like, oh wow, this is so awesome. And so I walk back up into the prison the next Sunday, and they're like, Brother Chuck, what's the update on the job situation? And you know what they expected? They expect them. Yeah. You know, you ask somebody how you doing, it's like Lurch from the Addams Family, you know. And they asked me how things are going, what's the job search. I jumped out, I was like, man, I'm standing on the promises of God. God is good. They said, you got a job? I said, no. But it ain't my job to get a job. It's his job to get me a job. And he's faithful until the end. The only thing I gotta do is have faith and believe and stand on the promises. And so I already got a job. I don't know where it is. I don't know where it's gonna be, but I got a job. I'm happy. I'm standing on the promises. I thank you for your prayers in advance. But I was not where they expected me to be. Still in the well. I don't think she lied. Because I don't think they were where the enemy expected them to be in the spirit realm. Can anybody ever have a testimony where people expected you to be down and out, but the Lord lifted you up even before he brought you out, and you just weren't there?
I'll share my friend Sandy that's on the board.
Yep.
He was sharing with me yesterday.
This Sandy?
Before, she was in so much pain with her neck that she was hollering and saying, a few short words that she don't normally think.
I understand.
The next morning she got up and God got on to her about the day before, so she repented and she said then when she started having pain, she still hollered, but she said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. She changed her perspective. Her situation didn't change, but she changed.
And it confuses the enemy.
It does.
Did you just hear that? It confuses the enemy. Wait a minute. She said they're not here. The enemy expected them to be there, but the enemy got confused because she said they were here, but they're not here. And so the enemy goes off in the wrong direction. Is there an application for today? Wait a minute. Let me ask the question. How can you send the enemy packing and looking in the wrong direction? It's in your praise.
Praise.
It's in your praise. Come on now. It's hard to praise him when I'm down. Wait a minute. I just said something. That thing might preach. I gotta write that down. Somebody write this down. Wait a minute. It's hard to praise him when you're down, but you can praise him when you're down. In fact, I praise him when I'm down. Because I know the end of the story is I'll be up in just a little while. So I praise him in advance. Welcome back, Ken. Good to have you back. All right. Amen. All right. Verse 21. And it came to pass after they were departed that they came up out of the well. I told you. They came up out of the well and went and told King David and said unto David, arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you. So verse 21, they got up out of the well. And what did they do when they got out of the well? Pardon me? Okay, so they crawled out of the well. Okay, so when they got out of the well, what did they do? You know what? This is where Christians got to be careful. Because we run the church and we run into the prayer line when we're down. And then God lifts us up. And then we forget what we were supposed to do when he... And we don't do what God has instructed. He's going to lift you up for a reason. So I'm talking to the young man in the prison this morning. And he don't understand why he's down. And I told him, maybe one reason that you're down is so that when God picks you back up, you can go back to doing what you used to do and get popped again. No. Okay. So you're down and God's going to lift you back up so that when you get up, you can go back into sin. No. Okay. So somebody help me here. God has you down so that when you come up out of this,
God's name will be
so that his name will be glorified. And how does God's name get glorified from this young man's situation when God lifts him up out of this? How will God get glorified? You got, wait a minute, I heard it over here and it begins with a T. When God lifts him up from being down, then he will have a testimony, which is a word which he can do what with? Sit on it?
No.
He can share it with others because that may be a word that encourages them to defeat the enemy. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So sometimes you're down because it's not about you. It's about the word and how God is going to use you to be an encouragement to somebody else who's down. And it might not happen if it were not for the woman. Praise God for the donuts.
And it may take a lot of time between what happened to you and your testimony, and then the person you to share is. It may take a lot of time.
So, how can you be encouraged through the time that you have to wait for your recovery? Remember the promises. And the plan. Wait a minute. That's the application for today. The same plan that he has for those priests that are in the well is the same plan that he has for us. Some of us are covering them and helping them get up out the well, and others are in the well. And when you come out, the plan of God is for you to deliver a word from your experiences and your testimony that helps somebody else win the battle against the enemy. I got two hands. I got two hands, but I see two hands. I know I got two hands, but I see two hands. Right. Go.
I got a testimony. A lot of times I'm at work, and people always say, "Man, why are you so happy?" I always quote them.
Because the beam, because you got that funny shirt that got that little marijuana leaf on it, and I can't.
I always quote them Proverbs 17:22.
What's that say?
A cheerful heart is good medicine. But a broken spirit saps a person's strength.
Amen, and that's a word from that. Okay.
You just talked about that as far as the greeters.
Yes.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
First responders.
I was the worst greeter / usher in the history of church. Yeah. I had to be one of the worst, but I didn't know I was bad because, I mean, my first job in church was usher. And so I was there and I would be standing at the door. I'd be a military guy. So I'm standing at parade rest and I'm looking, you know, I'm just looking over the crowd. You know, I was like, the silent soldiers watching. I'm watching, you know, I'm looking or whatever. I'm just a mean looking dude, you know. Yeah, I'm just. and then around 12 o'clock, Sister Johnson, all right, would always get ready to go off. Have I ever told this story before? Sister Johnson would get ready. I'll tell it real quick because we run out of time. And so my role as an usher was I was looking all mean, like I was a bouncer at the club. I'm like, so who wants to go to this kind of church, you know? And then I'm waiting to see what Sister Jefferson's going to do or whatever, you know. And about 12 o'clock, she's going to get the Holy Spirit. This is black church. Yeah. So she's going to get the Holy Spirit or whatever, and she's going to start getting happy in the Spirit or whatever, and she's going to flip over about two pews or whatever, and you know. So my goal was, and in my mind, I was like, uh-huh, not today. Yeah. Not today, not today, not today, not today. And I would go and I would stand behind her, you know, and you know, some of you have been in the church, you know what you do. You know. You start fanning them. Start fanning them. And the preacher, you know, I don't know, some of these preachers would just do some funny stuff or whatever, you know. They know she's getting ready to blast off. And then they'll go and they'll hit a little note or something like that or whatever. And then you know when she's getting ready to blast off because she'll say something like, ah, Jesus. And, oh, boy, that was it. That was it. That was it. And then all of a sudden you're going, and it's like a ride at Six Flags. I'm holding them arms down. And I'm talking to them, I'm like, not today, sister, not today. But I didn't have the right attitude, and I did not know that because of my demeanor, that I was really blocking people from getting the word. One of the most important support positions in the church is that greeter and usher ministry, man. Because I'm trying to facilitate that word getting to a lost soul. Not trying to see whether you're going to break off something in the club. I mean, you know. Ron, you had something.
First of all, you've been watching too many Madea movies.
Man. Yeah. Hey, I'm lived. I'm so happy for white church. I don't know what to do. But anyway, go ahead.
Something that we talked about earlier that getting up out of the well. And
yeah.
Yeah. I think we need the moonshine. We need more than one moonshine.
Oh, yeah.
David had. If you don't have the fellowship to encourage you, you may not have the will to stay where you're at long enough to experience what God wants you to experience.
When I was talking to the young man this morning, I shared with him the story of Hushai and David and said, how is David going to be encouraged in the time that he has to spend on the run? He knows that Hushai is from God and helping him. And as long as he knows that he has a Hushai, he knows that God is with him. And I'm like, you're wondering whether God has turned his back on you because you're down? Let me tell you this, son. I'll be your Hushai. Give me your first name and I'll pray for you. And I'll be your Hushai. And you got to realize that this is not just coincidence. Me talking to you on a day that I don't have to teach and to be able to spend this much time with you should be proof and confirmation that God is still with you. Find your Hushai. All right? Okay. Now, they get up and they share the testimony. And they get the word to David. They say, you got to get up and rise quickly because Ahithophel has counseled against you. All right? Now, when Hushai, through these priests, gets the word to David, David must be encouraged. You know why David must be encouraged? Because David had prayed that Ahithophel's counsel would be foolish or turned around. So now he gets word that you need to move. But he should be encouraged because not only that he has to move, he knows that God is on the move, because the word has come back to say, Ahithophel is still against you, but God has given you more time to pass over. So when you're in the wilderness, you're probably doing one of two things. Either you're sitting waiting on the word, or God will deliver the word and you need to do something while you're in transition. You need to pass over. Because the wilderness journey is that journey that weeds out and eliminates those things that you need to get rid of before you can handle or go into God's better season. All right? Okay, wait a minute. When you want to grow and bear fruit, what do you do first? You break up the ground. You break up the ground, and then you plant a seed, and you cover that seed up, step one and two. And then what happens to the seed?
Now,
the seed, come on now, the seed's already dead. You didn't put a live seed in the ground, you put a dead seed in the ground, all right? Yeah, put a dead seed in the ground. That's what, when Christ is telling us, you need to bury yourself, you need to pick up your cross and put yourself in a, so now all of a sudden you get new life, new shoots or whatever, and then what do? You start watering that thing, that step forward, the Holy Spirit, you start watering that thing, and it starts to grow, and you get excited about it, you start thinking, dreaming about what you're gonna have or whatever, but then, as it's growing, who's got a crepe myrtle? That thing starts growing and growing, but what else, what do you have to do with a crepe myrtle?
Trim it.
You gotta trim it. Because it'll be everywhere. Oh, she just preached a good word today. She just preached a good word today. So when you got the crepe myrtle, all other kinds of stuff, it just goes everywhere. So when you're planting stuff, you gotta go back, you gotta weed it. You gotta prune it, right? Because if you don't weed it and prune it, it'll just go.
It'll be a mess again.
She said, man. So God will take you through some wilderness experiences after you have experienced Him, because if He doesn't weed out some of the stuff that's already in us through this wilderness experience or whatever, we'll just go everywhere. And we'll just be a big mess all over again. So praise God for the troubles and the, you know, and what we have to go through in the wilderness, because it's the pruning process that allows us to be able to handle what God really wants us to be and look like. Come on now, you know some Christians that have been Christians for a long time, but they don't look right.
They need pruning.
Thank you very much. They need pruning.
Jesus said, if you don't stay next to me and if you're not pruned, then you'll bear no fruit. Right. Apart from me, you do nothing.
You'll just be wild. We got any wild Christians out there? Yeah. I'm not going to ask you where the wild Christians hang out, but anyway, it's wild, all right. Verse 22. Then David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan. By the morning light, there lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. What just happened here? That's it. That's it. This is not deep. He acted on the word. Okay. All right. Wait. In order for David to pass over and escape the enemy, there are several things that had to happen. What had to happen?
He had to hear
the word.
Then he had to act on it.
Then he had to act on the word.
And
he had to trust the word. And the people. When David gets the word and he acts on the word or applies the word, then he gets in position to defeat the enemy. Oh, and everybody with him. So see, David's trouble is not just about David. When David obeys the word, other people follow that example and they get saved too. And they pass over too. And the enemy can't find them either.
He did it at night too.
But when they woke up what's that scripture that says, weeping may endure for? Come on, for a night, but daybreak comes. Nobody likes to move. inconvenience to move. I done got comfortable here. But I need to apply the word of God. It may not be always comfortable, but I need to apply the word of God. And it's important because faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. Do you understand and see the importance of the word? I don't need more money in my checking account. I just need the word. And then I'll get more money in my checking account. I just need the word. Mac?
It's also confirmation that God answered his prayer.
Absolutely. Wait a minute, Mac. You said that's confirmation that God answered his prayer, but he's still on the run. God will give you confirmation that your prayer is being answered. But don't be discouraged just because you're still, because you know he's with you if he answered the prayer. So I went to Dunkin' Donuts. Because I needed to be covered. So I went to Dunkin' Donuts on, Friday to get my apple fritter. And I gave the girl my credit card and she swipes it and says, let me have your card again. And I'm like, she's a new girl. She don't know what she's doing. So she swipes it again and she comes back and says, your card's been rejected. And of course, being a preacher of sorts, I'm like, you know, the devil's a lie. You just swipe it again. Do it three times for the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know. Shoot. After 3 days, he rose again. After 3 days, it'll go through. You know, I don't know. So luckily, being old school, because young people don't know nothing about this or whatever. Right? I'm looking young. Yeah, young people don't know anything about this or whatever. You know. John David, you know, I don't know, you know, young people don't carry cash. This is why old school people are old school people. You always got a little bit of cash in your pocket. So I know we deal with plastic, but I always got a little bit of green in my pocket. So luckily I had a little bit of green in my pocket. I was able to pay cash. And then as I'm driving, I'm thinking, why is my card rejected? Roger, why is my card rejected? And the first thing that came to my mind is thieves. Somebody's got my number and doing evil stuff with it. Yeah. So I started to panic. I started to worry that somebody's got my number.
Or you're eating too many apple fritters.
Oh, too many apple fritters. One apple fritter too much, I'm over my liver, whatever. So class, what do I do in this situation when I got fear and the enemy and evil is coming upon me?
Pray.
You better pray.
Pray.
So I humbled myself.
Or look at your expiration.
No, look at your expiration day, yeah. So I humbled myself as I'm driving down the road and I repented as I'm praying. I'm like, God's got this. So all those thoughts of somebody stealing my card and bankrupting me or whatever, going over my limit or whatever, I started to have fear and the fear started to turn around and I started to have hope as I hit level 3. I'm like, God has this. And so he'll cover and protect me. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, I was just singing praises as I was driving. And when I got to where I needed to go on the base or whatever, I was going up to my job. I'm like, you know what? I should go over to the gas station and swipe it again just to make sure, because it can't be my fault. It must be Dunkin' Donuts' fault. So I'll swipe it again just to show that more I want to have some words for Dunkin' Donuts when I get over there and I swipe this card and it works for me. But the Spirit was like, just go it on and have peace. And so I did not go to the gas station to swipe my car. I went into work and I went inside and I got my computer all geared up and then I called the number on the back of the car and I called them and I said, what's up? But beforehand I prayed. And you know what my prayer was? My prayer was, Lord, don't let anybody steal any money from me. That was my prayer. Call them up. Couldn't find anything wrong. Accounts active. They start checking some transactions. Somebody, someplace in Massachusetts, charged a penny.
Yeah.
And then somebody in Houston charged a penny. And then somebody went to Walgreens. I don't even know how to spell it. And tried to charge $150 to my number. And when they did that, the bank locked the card and protected me. And I'm like, praise God, God is good. And she goes, is there anything else I can do for you today, sir? I said, no, you just praise him. He's good. And they're going to send me a new card. And they cancel out the old card. I got a new card coming.
A new man.
Peace.
He answered my prayer. And then after he answered my prayer, I realized I got all kinds of automated transactions to come out of the card or whatever. Now I got to go back and change all that. Now I got to contact this person and somebody ain't going to get paid. And I started to stress and fuss. I'm like, I'm mad. I'm upset because it ain't, you know.
The system works.
Why'd you say it's sad? Because just that quickly, because I was still in a situation, just that quickly, I forgot that he answered my prayer. Mm-hmm. See, just because it doesn't work out the way you want it to work out, doesn't mean that God ain't still with you. And you forget the blessing because it ain't perfect. It ain't lined up exactly how you want it to be lined up. But he's still with you. And you forget that he's still with you. And you don't act on it. You don't have the joy. And you miss. But he still answered the prayer. David is able to move on the word because he realized that God is answering my prayer. It may be uncomfortable. This Passover might be uncomfortable for me. It may not be pleasant. And I still am in the wilderness. But I know, as long as I know that God is with me and answering my prayer, I'm all right. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? All right. Oh, yeah, just like, you've been watching too much TV. All right, here we go. You've been all right. Verse 23. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his donkey and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulchre of his father. All right. So we've already quoted Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's very important that when we get a word, that we act on the word. If David does not get a word, he does not move to safety. If David gets a word and then does not act on the word or apply the word, he does not get to safety. In fact, what Hushai was saying was, you need to move or you'll get swallowed up by this. And some of us get swallowed up because we don't get the word. Some of us get swallowed up because we get the word, but then we don't act upon the word. All right. And some of us get swallowed up because it takes us so long. By the time we act upon the word, it's too late.
And he knows that quickly.
He said, you better do this quick, fast, and in a hurry. Anybody ever move, but you move too late? Okay.
Why did the guy hang himself?
Well, Mac just asked the question. Why did he hang himself? Okay. And I got a question here in my notes. I think I put it on the website, but I'm not sure. So let me just go and do this. There's the question here. And I'll put it to the class. Why do you think Ahithophel killed himself? I got some idea. Pride. Pride. He may have killed himself because of pride. The Bible don't say, but let's put yourself in the story. You gotta know who Ahithophel was. And Ahithophel, they said in the scripture that when he gave counsel, it was like you were talking to God. And David relied on him. And Absalom called him and said, I need you to do for me like you do. Because he had a reputation that whatever he said, whoo, it was like you were talking to God. So he's used to people celebrating and doing what he says. He's used to that. That pumps him up. Now all of a sudden, he faces a situation where you can't trust in your wisdom and your skill and your talent because now somebody has rejected you and his whole life was based upon perhaps the pride that he had and this ability that he had, and now somebody he's rejected and his reason for living is just taking a hit. That could be one reason why he killed himself. Yeah. What do you got, David? Pardon me, that he was what? He was just, oh my goodness. So, Judas betrays Christ. Realizes that, I messed up. Doesn't see any way that he can, feels bad about it. Notice there's some consequences, so he kills himself. And I like the idea that you've connected Judas, because Christ had a Judas, and David is a type of Christ, and so sometimes you got a Judas in every story. But when Jesus is in the garden with Judas, and he's already said at the Passover meal that, one of you guys is going to betray me. So Judas already knows who he's talking about, but when he's in the garden, there's one account in the Gospels where he says, he calls him friend. But friend means to me, you can still recover from this. And I think one of the reasons why Ahithophel might have killed himself is because, I mean, it's speculation, but it's because he probably saw there was no way out. And he didn't think that he was going to get the mercy from David that he expected David to get. But you're going to see in the story here, David is all about extending mercy to some folk or whatever. You know why? Because David is the person who needed mercy himself. But I don't think he thought that the king was going to give him mercy for what he had done. I don't think he saw any way out.
If you were in the right relationship, you would know
that he's a forgiving and a loving, and you would know that all you got to do is just humble yourself, which is what Judas did. He humbled himself, but he never repented. And so he never got down to level 5 where he would be able to receive the mercy that comes from God, because everybody just screwed up. But the blood was for everybody.
Sometimes, I'm just speaking from experience, sometimes that darkness just overtakes you and you don't see any way out.
Yeah.
It's so dark. Yet, the light. It's in a moment. It's emotional. You think you're not only doing yourself a favor, but everybody else.
But there's the problem. Oh, yeah. That's another one. I didn't write that down, but you think you're doing everybody a favor when you really, yeah.
I mean, that's how Satan works in your mind.
So how your mind works and how the spirit works are two different places. So when you start moving on your emotions rather than the spirit, you can be led by your emotions, and then that'll really mess you up. Because sometimes decisions made on emotion can be life-changing and not good. I considered suicide one time. I was a young lieutenant in the Air Force. Marriage was going down. And everything that I trusted in and believed in didn't seem to be fulfilling to me at all. And I sat in my office early in the morning one day, and I took my .357 Magnum and I put a couple bullets in there and started playing Russian roulette. And I'm like, you know what? I don't feel like I'm loved. I don't think anybody loves me. So I'm going to prove to them, this is how crazy this is. I'm going to send a message to everybody. And then when I smoke myself here, everybody would go, oh God, why did he do it? If only we had seen the warning signs and loved him or whatever. And then I said to myself, when I do this, then I'll receive the love that I've always been missing.
But you won't be here.
I know! They're so stupid! Just, it don't make sense. But that's how acting on emotion is. And so I sat there like a dummy, you know, thinking that I'm going to do this or whatever. And if I had done it, and here's the great lie that the enemy says, there's no way out and this is the way to go. And if I had done that back when I was 24 years old, look at how God is using it. I wouldn't be here today.
The word would have been stopped.
Yes. Which is why the enemy wants you to kill yourself or cut off life in him in the first place. And he'll take, God bless me, just bless me. He'll take your circumstances to make you think that you can't recover from your circumstances so that he can take you out. Because if he takes you out, it helps his kingdom and defeats the kingdom of God. And you know what? You don't want to go out like that.
And it is a very selfish.
And I never thought about it. But it is.
Gotcha.
The biggest lie that was told to me during that dark period was nobody loves you. But I grew up at 13 as a Christian off of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his own. You know, we can get so deep in the Bible that we miss the simplicity that God loves you. So why would you ever believe from the enemy that, you know what? And so when we put our emphasis on the world, we miss what God wants to do in the spiritual. Because right now I'm in such a good place, I don't care if nobody loves me. It might mess me up for a few moments or whatever, but I'm really just concerned that God loves me. I was walking around, I was walking around, I made my wife mad. One day my wife said, hey, and this, that, and the other, whatever. I said, nah, I ain't doing that. She goes, you know what? I got a father. I'm like, okay, that kind of scared me for a little bit or whatever. Then she made me mad the other day, and I was like, you know what? I have a father too. So next week, God willing, we're going to walk through, and I want to get, and it's in the notes or whatever, but I want to walk through some of the reasons why Ahithophel might have killed himself. Now, it's not that I hope anybody here is not trying to do that to themselves, but you know what? And then the Air Force had this resiliency day or whatever. And the Air Force, you know, there's a whole lot of people in the Air Force that are killing themselves. Just in general, not the Air Force. There's a lot of our young troops just can't, you know, just can't handle the pressure or whatever. And they're taking themselves out. And I never knew. And maybe people are always killing themselves, because I know friends or whatever that kill themselves or whatever. You know, maybe it always happens. Maybe because of social media or whatever, it's more prevalent. We hear more of it or whatever. But if this is not for you, it might be for somebody else that you know. I can't tell you. In fact, I was doing my little basketball ministry, and one of my players or whatever said, you know, two weeks in a row, she said, I got a prayer request, coach. I said, what's your prayer request? You know, pray for the family because somebody just killed themselves. I'm like, really? I'm like, okay, you know. And then next week, you know, oh, coach, pray for this family too, because this person, are you telling me before school even started? These kids are killing themselves? Oh my God, we got to get this word out. Because your story is what God's going to use to defeat the enemy. And the devil does not want your story to be told. So we'll go back through this and we'll figure out why he did. Matt, good question. We'll figure out why he did what he did. All right? I don't know the exact answer, but since some of us have been there, we might be able to relate. Amen? Okay, I got to get ready to get to my next gig and do my preach or whatever. Anybody got anything they want to share? Did anybody get blessed?